The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Good morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Here are the stories we're following today.
We begin with the tragedy near Baltimore. It is no longer a search and rescue operation. It is now search and recover after yesterday's collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. A road crew was working on the bridge at the time of the collapse. Now, two of them have been rescued. Six remain unaccounted for. The area remains blocked off to traffic, which means a major artery around the city of Baltimore is also blocked off. Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott is asking for people to be patient.
There are going to be detours. This is going to be a long road. But when we think about the realities of what those families are going through versus us having to spend a little bit more time in traffic, we can't even compare.
Baltimore Mayor Brandon Scott says the search is the priority, but he also recognizes the economic ripple effect this will have on his city.
Well, Amy, the business that contracted the road work is Bronner Builders. Company attorney Jeffrey Pritzker explains it's possible the crew never heard any warnings.
Where they were working on the bridge was right in the center span of the bridge, so it's quite possible that they heard nothing and had no idea what happened until it happened.
Attorney Jeffrey Pritzker, Maryland Governor Wes Moore, says the loss of the bridge and the loss of life is heartbreaking.
When I first got the phone call in the middle of the night saying the Key Bridge is gone, it takes your breath away. And then immediately start thinking about these families.
And Governor Moore says the work will continue to find those who are still missing. The next phase of the recovery process begins this morning.
The 1.6-mile-long bridge collapsed in just a matter of seconds. The catastrophic consequences are set to stretch out for weeks. President Biden says the government needs to step up.
It's my intention that the federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my effort.
Facing months of uncertainty, Baltimore and Maryland both have declared a state of emergency.
Well, Amy, the aftermath of the bridge's collapse throws another spotlight on the fragile nature of global supply chains. Brendan Murray leads our global trade coverage for Bloomberg.
The Port of Baltimore is closed indefinitely. They're going to have weeks or months of salvage operations to clean up the site. All that cargo is going to have to go somewhere else. Places like Norfolk, Virginia, Charleston, South Carolina, Savannah, Georgia. The big ships will have to go to New York and New Jersey. So there's going to be a period where supply chains have these wrinkles that need to be ironed out. It's going to mean delays for people and businesses for their parts and their products. And it's going to possibly mean some higher costs in the short term.
Bloomberg's Brendan Murray says about 35,000 people use the bridge every day. The American Trucking Association says the annual value of goods going over is about $28 billion.
And of course, we will continue to follow the latest developments on the bridge collapse right here on Bloomberg Radio. Now let's turn to political news. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has picked Nicole Shanahan to be his vice presidential pick in his independent White House bid that's trying to appeal to voters disaffected by a rematch of the 2020 election. The 38-year-old Shanahan is a California lawyer and a philanthropist who has never held elected office.
Meanwhile, Amy, the Republican presidential candidate is also making headlines. Donald Trump will need to be careful with his rhetoric during his trial concerning alleged payments to Stormy Daniels, and Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports.
Now that an April 15th start date has been set for Donald Trump's trial on alleged hush money payments, the judge is out with some ground rules for the former president. Judge Juan Merchan has issued a gag order banning Trump from making statements about witnesses, lawyers, or jurors involved in the trial. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg sought the order because of Trump's, quote, longstanding history of verbal attacks. The trial marks the first criminal prosecution of a former American president. In Washington, I'm Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It was a volatile first day of trading for former President Donald Trump's social media startup. Trump Media and Technology Group gained 16% in its first trading day as a public company and surged as much as 59% at one point. The most high-profile blank check deal in years added billions to Trump's fortune, at least on paper. Shares are up 10% in early trading this morning.
Well, in the currency market, Amy, the yen has touched its lowest level versus the dollar since 1990. Japan has stepped closer to currency intervention with its strongest warning yet. The country's finance minister ramped up his hints of possible action. Looking at the yen right now, it's little changed against the dollar, the yen at 151.49.
In geopolitical news, Chinese President Xi Jinping has met with U.S. business executives hoping to restore confidence in Beijing. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Xinhua says President Xi met with representatives from U.S. business, strategic, and academic communities. China's hoping to shore up confidence amid a slowdown in foreign investment. Investment fell to a 30-year low last year. Tensions with the U.S. have risen in recent weeks. China said it filed a complaint to the WTO over U.S. EV subsidies. And the U.S. and U.K. accused Chinese hackers of targeting politicians and companies. China is now ramping up outreach to foreign investors, hoping to kickstart the slumping economy. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Brian, thank you. Now to a discussion on the broader economy with BlackRock CEO Larry Fink. Fink talked about his annual letter yesterday with Bloomberg's David Weston, warning that the U.S. is facing a looming retirement crisis and says a high-level effort is needed to address it. Fink added that America's unsustainable debt servicing bill could lead to a period of stagnation.
The cost of financing our deficits are going to erode more and more of our disposable income as a country. And I do believe we're getting to a point where our public debt is going to start crowding out private capital, and we're going to have structurally higher interest rates.
BlackRock CEO Larry Fink added he's frightened by the U.S. public debt situation, but says a U.S. debt crisis is not inevitable. And you can catch our entire conversation with Larry Fink on the Bloomberg Talks podcast, available on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. And it's time now for a look at some of the other stories making news in New York and around the world. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says his government will not accept Hamas's delusional conditions for a ceasefire in Gaza. The militant group has rejected the latest truce proposal because it wants an end to the war and Israel's full withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. Netanyahu also rebuked a UN Security Council resolution calling for ceasefire in Gaza. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller pushed back on claims that Hamas's most recent rejection of a ceasefire framework agreement resulted from the U.S. abstention vote in the UN.
That response was prepared before the UN Security Council vote, not after it.
Yesterday, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin welcomed Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant to the Pentagon, where the two talked about U.S.-Israeli security cooperations and the ongoing efforts to bring humanitarian aid into Gaza. A vigil will be held tonight in Massapequa Park in the hometown for the NYPD officer who was shot and killed this week. Officer Jonathan Diller, who was 31, was fatally shot during a traffic stop in Queens. Diller, who was with the force for 3 years, had a wife and a toddler son. Diller and another officer approached a car that was parked illegally at a bus stop. Authorities say one of the two men who were in the car, 34-year-old Guy Rivera, pulled out a gun and shot Diller in the torso. Officials say Diller's partner then fired and shot Rivera in the back. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the city has a recidivism problem.
These two individuals, one of the men had been arrested on a gun charge in April 2023, the driver. He has more than 20 priors. The other has an equal amount of priors.
Mayor Adams also says the city has to deal with mental health issues and random acts of violence. Today, New York's MTA holds its final vote on acting what would be the U.S.'s first large-scale congestion pricing system. The plan would charge most drivers a fee of at least $15 to drive south of 60th Street in Manhattan. The program is set to begin in June, but that could change depending on the outcome of lawsuits in New York and New Jersey. Supporters say it will reduce carbon emissions, speed up bus service and emergency response times, and raise funds for public transportation. Former NYC Traffic Commissioner Sam Schwartz is in favor of the plan.
I know a number of cities are keeping their eye on New York. If you can get through all the log jams, all the bureaucracy, all the politics of New York City, and you can get this done in New York, you could do it elsewhere.
Critics say there should be a commitment to improve mass transit service. Global news 24 hours a day and whenever you want it with Bloomberg News Now. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael. Thank you. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Winding down the NHL regular season, the race is on for the President's Trophy, home ice in the playoffs. Seven teams separated by just 3 points, and the team that right now is atop the league, the Rangers. They hosted the Flyers, scoreless first period. Philly led 2-1 after two, and then seven goals were scored in the third. Rangers had three different leads. The game went to overtime.
Fox dangles the blue line, leaves it back for Trocheck, back to Fox. Fox rips a shot and scores! Adam Fox in overtime! And the Rangers win a wild game 6-5, 100 points. They clinch a playoff berth for the third consecutive year.
On ESPN, Fox scoring 36 seconds into OT. Devils trying to make the playoffs. They won in Toronto 6-3. The Bruins took over first place in their division. 4-3 win at Florida. Double overtime in the NBA. The Lakers playing without LeBron James came from 19 down and won in Milwaukee. For Anthony Davis, 34 points, 23 rebounds. The Warriors won by 21 at Miami. Dallas won by 36 at Sacramento. 50th win of the season for Oklahoma City. Many felt Indiana State should have made the NCAA tournament, settled for the NIT, now 31-6 after a quarterfinal win over Cincinnati. Georgia won by 2 at Ohio State. Seton Hall has its NIT quarterfinal game tonight at home against UNLV. Major rule changes to kickoffs in the NFL. They'll look very different. The kicker will now stand at his own 35-yard line. His 10 teammates will be 25 yards ahead. At least 7 of the receiving players will be just 5 yards from them. It's an effort to make the kickoff again be part of the sport. Most of them had not been returned. Baseball starts tomorrow, and free agent pitcher Jordan Montgomery has finally found a job. He signed with Arizona. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Coast to coast on Bloomberg Radio, nationwide on Sirius XM, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and the Bloomberg Business app. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And returning to our top story this morning, the Key Bridge in Baltimore struck by a cargo ship collapsed in just seconds yesterday. The consequences, though, will likely stretch out for weeks. We are joined now by Bloomberg's trade expert, Brendan Murray. Brendan, thanks for taking the time with us. What is the latest now?
Sure. So, tragically, the officials locally have said that they're calling off the search and rescue for the six missing workers who were on the bridge filling potholes when the ship struck the bridge. So they're recovering the victims at this stage. So a rather somber day starting here on Wednesday. In the meantime, all this cargo that was supposed to come in and out of Baltimore has to go somewhere else. So we're seeing ships diverting to ports in Virginia and North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and New York. So all that cargo is gonna be slower to get where it's going, and it will need truck or a train to pick it up in another location that it wasn't expecting. So expect a bit of a tangled mess in the weeks ahead.
Let's get into that a little bit and talk about some of those ports. You mentioned South Carolina, Virginia, New Jersey, and other ports. Are they going to be able to handle all of the extra traffic that they're about to get?
From what they tell us, they're not running at full capacity right now. The U.S. economy is fairly solid, but it's not gangbusters. So some of them tell us they're running at about 70 or 80% capacity. So yeah, they can handle this extra cargo flowing in their direction, but it'll take. They can't do it immediately. So we could see ships sitting outside these ports for a few days, perhaps, and we'll see how they're able to absorb it. The big issue is Baltimore is a big car port for imports and exports, and not every trade gateway along the eastern seaboard can handle cars. So we'll have to wait and see how the auto companies deal with these disruptions to their supply chains.
Right. They handle cars, construction equipment, farm equipment. And I wonder if that's where we might see the most impact, because it seems like there would be more isolated industries as opposed to industries as a whole.
Yeah, it's not a lot of sort of consumer-facing goods that flow through Baltimore. It's things that are kind of in the, you know, go to the industrial heartland, construction equipment, farm equipment, and those kinds of things. The spring construction season kind of heats up in a month or two. Will there be enough equipment? Will some of that equipment and the materials needed for home building and office construction be as readily available as it might have been? Farmers are going to start, planting crops in a few months. Are they going to have, the equipment that they need, the new tractor or combine, that would normally flow through Baltimore? So we're not expecting a widespread economic headwind from this, but it could create some isolated headaches.
And briefly, Brendan, it wasn't long ago we experienced firsthand the fragile nature of the global supply chains. Very briefly, 30 seconds, how is this going to factor into that?
Well, we're going to get another test of the resilience of supply chains along the East Coast. Basically, it will mean trucks. There's going to be a lot of traffic around Baltimore for the foreseeable future. That highway, that beltway around Baltimore, is now gone. So all that traffic is going to have to move somewhere else. So I think we're just going to have to see how the companies involved in logistics and supply chains can flex with this shock, and hopefully the fallout won't be too widespread or too painful.
You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak Today, your morning brief on the stories making news from Wall Street to Washington and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed at 6 a.m. Eastern each morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning starting at 5 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, "Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.